Today's sermon is going to be necessarily shorter because of our use of the Athanasian Creed. Although church history attests to its use by the 6th century, and although it used to be recited in the prayer office called Prime, it is rarely in use today, and you might be able to guess why. On the one hand, it is very long. On the other hand, in our culture, very few people like to be told what they must believe. But historically, the creeds were developed in part to counter various heresies that were emerging in the church, but also to clarify the fundamentals of Christian belief. And the two fundamentals of the Athanasian Creed are Trinity and an affirmation of Jesus as fully human and fully divine. The Athanasian Creed is one of what have been called the three ecumenical or universal creeds. The other two we are more familiar with, the Apostles' Creed and the Nicene Creed, both of which date to the 4th century. Athanasius also dates to the 4th century, but most scholars today consider that this creed was probably not written by him, but named after him as a tribute to his strong defense of Trinitarian theology. Trinitarian theology is what distinguishes Christianity from every other world religion. It differentiates Christianity from monotheistic religions like Judaism or Islam, with their emphasis on the oneness of God. And it differentiates Christianity from polytheistic religions like Hinduism, which worship many gods. Most simply, it defines God as one being, three persons. And it has been a source of confusion and debate. How do you put one and three together? Interesting that Matthew got to preach this every year he was there. There are tons of analogies that people use, but ultimately they all fall apart if you press them too far. H2O can exist as ice, water, and steam, but it is still the same element as far as physics is concerned. But it can't really exist as ice, water, and steam at the same time. Another analogy looks at an apple, skin and flesh and core, which are still one apple. But still, each of those elements can be separated. One of the ancient analogies is the one St. Patrick used to convert the Irish, that of a three-leafed clover. But when you look at a single clover, the three leaves are still individual and could be separated. Trinitarian heresies usually fall into one of two categories, modalism and tritheism. Tritheism happens when you end up talking as if there were ultimately three gods instead of one. Modalism happens when you end up talking about one God who just happens to sometimes show up as three distinct persons, but one at a time. Probably the most blatant example of modalism was a notion that emerged that said that God the Father, the Creator, existed from all eternity, and when Jesus came to earth, the Father stopped existing and Jesus was God. And when Jesus went up to heaven in the ascension, then it was the Holy Spirit, and it was like they took turns being God, instead of understanding they were all God all at the same time. While we see the three persons of the Trinity predominate at various places in Scripture, theologically, we have sometimes undermined the reality of the Trinity when we have spoken of God the Father as Creator, as if the Son and the Spirit had nothing to do with creation, or God the Son as Redeemer, as if the Father and the Holy Spirit had nothing to do with redemption, or God the Spirit as sanctifier, as if the Father and the Son have nothing to do with making us holy. So how do we make any sense of this? It may be a source of frustration to you, but ultimately we don't. It remains a mystery, something we can affirm but not explain. Maybe that's why the Athanasian Creed is so long, an attempt to affirm what can be affirmed about Trinity in the absence of being able to fully explain this nature and this existence of God. In the end, this creed goes to great lengths to affirm that in any possible theological or philosophical category that you can imagine, they are three, but they are one, co-equal in oneness. Excuse me. So while we don't get an explanation of Trinity out of the Bible, we see Trinity explicitly referenced. We see Jesus at the end of his ministry sharing what we have come to know as the Great Commission. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And at the end of 2 Corinthians, Paul blesses the people with these words that are very familiar to us. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, by which I think he was referencing Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. The forms for baptism and blessing were explicitly Trinitarian from the earliest days of the church and became a point of debate for theologians for centuries as the creeds were developed. So today we celebrate the mystery of the Trinity and affirm Trinitarian faith. And theologians continue to write volumes on what it means and why it is important. But most compelling to me was something I heard a number of years ago from Rob Lewis, the former director of the World Mission Prayer League in Canada. He had spent his life as a missionary encountering people for whom the concept of Trinity was just as confusing as it is for us. He spoke of the fundamental importance of Trinity as relationship, because it is only in relationship that there can truly be love. This is a famous icon of the Orthodox Church. It's the icon of the Holy Trinity, and it shows the persons of the Trinity in relationship around one table. Now, it does slide a little bit into modalism because there's one, two, three, you can count them. Nobody can get their head around this whole idea of three and one. But it's interesting if you look at this picture and you think about the relationship. I don't think it's important for us to be able to solve the mystery of the Trinity, but I think it is important for us to think about Trinity in these relational terms. And if we think about the internal relationships of the Trinity as being equal, and if we look at this icon, I think it speaks to us of a mutual deference among the persons of the Trinity, and a unity and a love. Maybe on this Trinity Sunday, we might hear that as a call to become the reality of our life together. Mutual deference and unity. And love. May God enable that Trinitarian reality in our midst. Amen.